The provincial government is introducing amendments to the Correctional Services Act. The new act, once it's proclaimed, will outline a grievance procedure for inmates, place greater emphasis on their health care needs, and implement a new disciplinary process. Putting the act in place was the number one recommendation of the Deaths in Custody Review earlier this year. Justice Minister Andrew Parson joins me live by phone this morning. Good morning, Minister.
Good morning, sir.
What exactly went on with these amendments? Why were they necessary?
Well, I mean, this was something that really stemmed out of the decades of darkness as well. And the bill was first amended or brought into play back in 2011. But for whatever reason, the previous administration did not proclaim the bill, so it did not come into force. When we came in early 2016, the bill called for a five-year statutory review. So what we did over the last 3 years is we had a look at it, and at the same time we were dealing with multiple reports, the disciplinary segregation, administrative segregation, plus the Jessel report. So what we introduced yesterday are some smaller amendments to it, but the big piece to this whole thing is that we will actually proclaim the bill and its regulations this year, making sure that everything is operational.
How the disciplinary process has changed under these amendments?
Well, again, there wasn't much of a process there before. What we've done here, and this is probably the biggest change to it, is allowing for a more clarified and codified disciplinary process, and also allowing for outside adjudicators to be brought in to hear these matters. And again, that's the part I think that's taken some time, and there's a cost aspect to that that we've been working through. So that'll be a pretty significant change. And much of what we've been doing as well is just codifying what is already being done in practice. But the thought process is, well, if you're already doing, you may as well legislate it and make sure that it's actually written in there.
Some of the federal changes regarding segregation, and of course will be adopted across the country, would have been very difficult in Her Majesty's Penitentiary as it currently stands. Let's move on to the big announcement made about replacing HMP with a new 21,000 square foot facility for some $200 million on the White Hills. For starters, there were some plans back in 2014, and plans were drawn for architectural plans for the new prison. Are we starting from scratch or adopting some of the old work that was done?
We're definitely going to be adopting some of the work that was done. And back then, that was the most that was done was a plan. I don't think there was ever any work done to actually look at whether this could be done. So we've taken this plan done by Parkins Architecture, I think. But, you know, 5 years has passed since then. So we have to look at that plan and perhaps modify that a bit. One of the big changes, obviously, is that we have to look at the segregation practices to ensure we have the space there for that, as well as looking at the fact that we do have female inmates being held in this new facility. So we won't be looking for, looking to start the whole thing over. We need to continue moving forward, but we have a base to start from.
How is the new facility going to be different insofar as attending to mental health concerns of the inmates?
Well, one of the things, and you'll see this was done federally as well, is that they call for these dedicated mental health units, these isolated spaces. A lot of times now what we're doing with individuals is we don't have that space that allows for care. We're often segregating them, placing them away just for their own safety, and so that space is going to be changed. The other thing is that we simply have not had enough room for programming. Like, there's so many good community groups and advocates and even the people within the healthcare system that want to come in, but the space is just limited. There literally is nowhere for these people to work, and that prompts a lot of problems and creates wait lists. So that is going to be fixed with the extra programming space. That's going to allow for people to have more access to these examples of programming, and as well as allow for more recreation.
So no federal funding, and adopting a public-private partnership, as we've seen with the Cornerbrook Hospital, replacing the Waterford long-term care facilities, it for some reason feels different when we talk about prisons. How does a P3 work when we talk about profitability in a prison system?
Well, okay, so the first thing to keep in mind is that it only relates to the infrastructure. So to me, it's no different. It's coming down to the building of a building. Whether it's a long-term care unit or a hospital or a prison, we're using a different model that allows for significant savings. In this particular case, there's 12% savings on the building. It transfers more of the risk over to the builder to ensure that they're on time and on budget. The fact is, when it comes to the services that come within the building, nothing will change whatsoever. That's not the intent at all. So I'm just glad to see it. I think it's going to make sure that things get done in a timely fashion. The province should not be taking more risk here. And if we can get a building done for 12% cheaper, 12% on a project of this magnitude is pretty significant savings for taxpayers.
Where are the savings achieved? Help us understand how we save 12%.
That's a great question, and unfortunately, I'm probably not as good to answer that as the Minister of Transportation and Works, because when it comes to the actual building and the whole tendering process, that's the department that holds the keys, we'll say. So I'm probably not the best one to answer it. What I will say is that I think the biggest thing is that the risk is transferred. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the province will pay the money when we take the keys, as opposed to, you know, handing over more, and there's delays and there's overages. These are things that we will not be held responsible for.
We'll reach out to Minister Crocker on some details regarding P3s for all the aforementioned infrastructure projects. Let's talk about the location. White Hills, you know, somewhere off East White Hills Road, in some proximity to the RCMP detachment. Immediately, people were saying, why there? Given the fact there's an extensive network of trails utilized by bikers and walkers and hikers and the like. So why there?
Well, that was the location that had been identified back in 2014. And it is space that is owned by the province. The province owns the land. And again, me not being that familiar with the area, not being from the area, I wouldn't have been aware of these concerns. So that's the first thing that I heard as well. So I can appreciate those concerns. I would think that the Department of Transportation and Works would be cognizant of this as we move through the process, because surely there's a way to accommodate the fact that this is a much needed building. It does have to be within this area, in my opinion, because you see some of the comments, well, let's just put it out anywhere on an empty space. That's just not realistic. I mean, you need access to courts. When you talk about the staff and the mental health services, these need to be, you need to have that proximity. But I'd also like to think that when we talk about land use and access, that these are things that can be taken care of in the process and looked at, because I think those concerns are valid. I think when we look at our environment and, just the people's access to nature, these are things we had to be cognizant of. We do have space. So, again, something that I think the TW will handle, I think, and I think there's a way to make sure that everybody's concerns are taken care of. But I, again, speaking somewhat selfishly, I really hope there's a way we can do it and still get this building moving ahead on time.
Advocates for a new penitentiary are also concerned, given the fact that we have some $600,000 in this year's budget to move the project forward, but there's no surety that the budget will actually be passed as we head into an election year. How concerned are you with that? Because maybe not all parties will be on side with the proposal as it stands.
Well, again, I can only speak for us. The fact is there will be a budget in 2019, and I can guarantee you that we obviously are, we've shown the most support to move this project forward ever in history. There have been announcements in the past, but there's been no concrete work or fiscal timeline and money allocated for it like we've done this year. If we were not the ones sitting in seats and somebody else does it, well, and if they don't want to move it forward, they'll have to answer to that and why that's not necessary and speak to the people that have been advocating for this for some time. Not really a concern to me. I think that most people appreciate that this needs to be done, and the fact is that there has to be a budget in 2019.
We appreciate your time this morning, Minister Parsons. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's the Honourable Andrew Parsons, the Minister of Justice and Public Safety.